Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Luke chapter 19. We'll begin reading at verse 1. Have your Bible ready. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, we read, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And, behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste, came down, and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Well, we read first in verse number 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Several times in the book of Luke, we find Jesus entering somewhere. Luke 5 and 3, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And then Luke 6 and 6, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered, and you remember that story. Once again, he got in trouble with the Pharisees. Luke 7 and 1, he entered into Capernaum. Luke 9 and 52, he entered into a village of the Samaritans. Luke 10 and 38, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And then Luke 17 and 12, he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers. And now here in chapter 19 and verse number 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now he passed through Jericho. In Mark 9 and 30, he passed through Galilee. In Luke 17:11, he passed through the midst of Samaria. And then in the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul passed through 7 different places that are recorded there. He passed through. Well, Jesus here passed through Jericho, and Jericho is only mentioned on 2 occasions in the New Testament. One is in Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30, where we have the story of the Good Samaritan, and we mentioned on a previous broadcast that Jericho, that had been rebuilt, was a very prosperous city, and it was also a haven for crooks who would hide in the outskirts of the town in the caves and rob people as they went by. And there you have that story of the Good Samaritan. Then here in Luke chapter 19 and verse number 1, we have Jesus there, and it says he passed through. He passed through. He didn't come to stay. He came and he passed through. Well, it says in verse 2, "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." Now, behold, 52 times in the book of Luke, you're going to find that word, behold. It means stop everything, something remarkable here that you need to give your attention to. You need to pay special attention to this. That's what it means. And so it says, now behold, well, stop what you're doing and get the message here. It says there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was, it says here, chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, Zacchaeus is only mentioned 3 times in Luke, and then it's in verse 2, 5, and verse 8 here in this chapter. Now, it says he was chief among the publicans. That is, they had a kind of a pyramid system where not only was he gathering taxes from people as he wanted, but he was getting a part of what everyone else was gathering. There would have been a lot of publicans in this major city of Jericho. Well, it says in verse number 5 that Jesus came. It says he looked up, he saw him, and he said, "Make haste, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I need to abide at your house." So first it says that Jesus came. Luke 19 and 10 here, it says, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." The second thing it says here is that he looked. It says he looked up and he saw him. In Mark 3 and 5, we read that Jesus looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. In Mark 8 and 33, it says he turned and looked on his disciples, and then he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And then in Mark 10 and 23, "And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And in Mark 11 and 11, Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around upon many things, and we saw there in that story that he went out of the temple. Then in Mark 22 and 61, "And the Lord turned and looked on Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." He looked. Over and over again, we see that Jesus made eye contact with people. And one of these days, you and I are going to make eye contact with the Son of God and give an account for our lives. Well, we come here to Luke 19 and 5. It says Jesus, when he came to the place, he looked up. And the next thing it says, he saw him. He saw him. That word has been translated perceived 5 times. It doesn't just mean that he looked up and saw a body up there in a tree limb. He perceived what was in his heart, as he does with you and I. Well, then he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." Zacchaeus. He knew his name. That must have been a shocking thing when Zacchaeus was sitting up in that tree and he actually called him by name in front of those people. And he said, "Make haste. Move with urgency. We have something requiring some swift action here. Come down." Now it's time for Zacchaeus to choose. And we all have no choice but to choose, and we are all free to choose as to what we are going to do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, "What will he do with me?" He says, "Come down today." Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today. In fact, Jesus was not coming back. It's going to be today or never, Zacchaeus. What are you going to do? Then he said, "I must abide at thy house." The word "abide" here means to stay overnight. He's not just stopping for a cup of tea. He's going to spend some time in the home of this man who was considered as a serious, serious sinner. He is a hated publican. Well, verse 6, we see that he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Well, that was his response. What was the response of the crowd? It says in verse 7, "When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." Well, so much for Luke 18 and 43. Here we are a few verses later, back there in 43, they're all praising God when that blind man got healed. Well, now they're all murmuring. All the people which saw it gave praise unto God in Luke 18 and 43, and now they're murmuring, "He's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner." You remember back in Luke 18 and 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed with himself, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers," that's a bad group of people, "or even as this publican." They put the publicans right down at the bottom of the line of filthy sinners. And so the crowd is thinking, how can the Messiah, he's coming, our Messiah, how can he be defiling himself in this way that he would go to be a guest of a man that is a sinner? Well, it's not hard to figure out. It says back here in chapter 19 and verse number 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so we have the response of the Lord, we have the response of the crowd, and we have the response of Zacchaeus. It says in verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Well, there's no mention of any sales pitch program being presented here. There's no Romans road that he went through. Now, I'm not against using those scriptures in Romans to help explain the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we sometimes think it's like a sales pitch. We just offer somebody an incentive. There's no incentive here that he'd say, well, if you die today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? We need to repent of our sin because we've offended a thrice holy God, even if there wasn't any heaven. We don't get saved because there's something in it for us. We get saved because we are, whatsoever ye do, the Bible says, do all to the glory of God. It glorifies God to get saved. Now there is a heaven, and it's a tremendous byproduct of being saved. But this whole idea, well, you know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? No, would you like to know? Well, who wouldn't? Well, just rhyme off this little prayer and you're in. No, you're not. The Bible says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We read in Acts chapter 17, verse number 30, that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What part of that is too difficult to understand?